You're listening to A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. The NYIT College of Osteopathic Medicine at Arkansas State University is in a partnership with the Office of Representative Rick Crawford. The fellowship program will assess the usage of federal funds in the Delta region and ensure they're benefiting residents as intended. I sat down with the dean, Dr. Shane Spites. Before I asked him about the fellowship, I asked him about how the academic year has been so far at NYIT's College of Osteopathic Medicine.
This was certainly an exciting year for us to start because we started our third class. Now, most people may or may not know that medical school is about 4 years long. The first 2 years are pretty much confined inside the building. That's when you're in lectures and labs, you're in the gross anatomy lab, and you're kind of learning how to listen to heart sounds and things like that. A lot of the core medicine goes on those first 2 years. In that third and fourth year, however, that's when you actually go out into the communities and you're working with doctors and working in hospitals and working in clinics, urgent cares and areas like that, and truly starting to fill in those gaps in terms of what you've learned those first 2 years and now basically just accelerating that knowledge by actual patient interaction. So we just started that this year. So it was a very exciting year for us. We now have over 115 students out throughout the state of Arkansas and this entire region working with physicians and in hospitals, truly just all throughout the Delta region.
And so what are some of the things that they're doing when they go into that third year, those 115 students? How are they working in the hospitals? And then are they still technically working here at NYIT as they're working on their degrees?
So, yeah, because the degree requires 4 years of medical school, they're still enrolled with us, and they still have a curriculum that they have to abide by. Each month, basically, they go into a different rotation, and we call these core rotations. So they'll spend a month in family medicine, a month in internal medicine, then pediatrics, general surgery, emergency medicine, psychiatry, obstetrics and gynecology, and kind of so on. Those are core rotations. Some of the rotations are actually 2 months long, and so they'll spend 2 months in those. But that third year, that's what they spend most of the vast majority of their time doing.
And what happens when they go into the fourth year, like next year?
So in the fourth year, there's what we call some sub-internships or some selectives or electives. So they do have the opportunity, if they're interested in something like urology or neurosurgery or dermatology, they can go and do rotations specifically in those specialties. They also are required to do some specialty rotations in, say, general surgery. So they did their general surgery time in the third year. Maybe they want to go deeper, and they want to learn about orthopedic surgery, or they want to learn about otolaryngology, which is ENT surgery. Maybe it's they want to learn about a specific area of medicine, a subset of medicine, like critical care, pulmonary disease, cardiac disease. That gives them the opportunity in their fourth year to do that. Also, what happens in the fourth year are audition rotations, and that's where they're going around looking at different residency programs that they might want to apply to when they graduate medical school. A lot of people forget this. Even though you spend 4 years of medical school, take all the exams, pass the big board exams, even though you graduate, you can't practice and see patients until you've done a residency, which is basically the specialty that you choose to go into after medical school.
Right. How important is this third year by way of what, not only for them, I imagine it's a crucial year probably in that learning.
Absolutely for them. Like I said, this is where they've done all the book work and all the book learning, watching the videos, working on, cadavers in the anatomy lab, and now it becomes real. Because now they've been studying diabetes, they've been studying high blood pressure, they've been studying normal pregnancies. Now they have the real patients in front of them that they can actually see. They can interview them, they can talk to them. And so it starts bringing in that more humanistic approach.
Yeah. And how does this also benefit the hospitals that they're working at as well?
Well, whenever you add learners to any sort of environment, like a hospital environment, even a clinic environment, it typically raises the level of care that's administered there. Because now everybody has to be brought up. And so when medical students who ask lots of questions, non-threatening questions, but they're still questions, why do we use this medicine? Why does this disease cause this? Why do you see that as a side effect? It makes people think, and it makes everybody grow and learn more. So it truly raises the level of care wherever these students are located.
Right. Dr. Shane Spites joining us here. He's the dean of the NYIT College of Osteopathic Medicine here at A-State Connections on KASU. Dr. Spites, one thing I was wanting to ask you, tell us about this fellowship program that you all are part of, if you don't mind, through Congressman Rick Crawford's office, and how did you all get started with this?
Very excited about that project. Truly, it has been several years in the making. We actually started this conversation with the founding dean, Dr. Barbara Ross Lee, and Congressman Crawford's office. And what really we were looking at, we were looking for obviously opportunities for our students to kind of learn more and get involved in health policy, health legislation, and understanding population health. The congressman wanted to look at the federal funding mechanisms that were already flowing into the Delta region and basically look at outcomes. There's a lot of money that comes into the Delta region and from different sources, the Delta Regional Authority, the CDC, the National Science Foundation, the National Institute of Health. A lot of money comes in for different reasons. And so looking at where that money is going and what it's earmarked for and the outcomes associated hasn't really been specifically defined in terms of overlap. What I mean by that is, let's say the CDC sends $1 million to study obesity. Well, let's say NIH also sends $1 million to study obesity in the Delta. Those two groups may or may not talk to each other. They may or may not be looking at the same outcomes or even understanding or recognizing the data that's being collected on either side. So the idea behind this is to have the student identify an area of interest that's obviously also an area of interest for us in the Delta region, and basically look at all the funding that occurs by those mechanisms and look at the outcomes, and to try to basically tailor that funding so it truly produces the best outcomes for the citizens of the region.
Right. And with that, I know that there was a lot. This area seems to be an area that one needs a lot of doctors. Absolutely. And all that because of the health challenges.
Yes. We significantly, in this region, and I say this region, it's the Mississippi Delta region, which encompasses a large part of Arkansas, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Louisiana. It's one of the poorest areas in the nation. It's one of the most underserved areas in the nation. It's also one of the worst areas of the nation in terms of healthcare outcomes. Typically, we talk about Arkansas and our healthcare outcomes and how we compete with Mississippi and Louisiana for that bottom spot, so to speak. When you truly look county by county where the problem is, it's in the eastern part of Arkansas, specifically southeastern. It's the eastern part of Louisiana, northern and southern eastern part of that. It's the western part of Mississippi. It's that core Delta region where a lot of the issues are confined.
And why is that?
A lot of it is based on whether it's multifactorial, to be honest with you. A lot of it is education. A lot of it is in terms of economic prosperity, in terms of jobs. We firmly believe that also drives healthcare. In terms of number of physicians that are located in that region, it's very, very low. So you even have counties that exist that don't have a single physician in it. So there's not a way to actually get good information to the people in those areas in terms of making wise decisions about their health care.
Right. Dr. Shane Spites joins us here. He's the dean of the NYIT College of Osteopathic Medicine here at Arkansas State University, joining us on A-State Connections on KASU. So with this fellowship program, how will this work by way of integrating students and NYIT into this fellowship program through Congressman Crawford's office?
So what we do is it's a competitive program, and a student is chosen that will start in their third year. So because most medical students don't come with the understanding of health policy and population health and looking at disparate populations and social determinants of health, we've got to bring that education to them. So the first part of their third year of medical school, along with their core rotations, they're also doing some longitudinal education in social determinants of health and population health. About January of their third year is when they'll actually choose what their area of focus will be. And they work with the congressman's offices here in Arkansas locally and actually identify what that topic's going to be. They start collecting data, and a lot of it can be done online or through the congressman's office to be able to request data from these different organizations. They will make some site visits to these areas to physically look at the outcomes that are occurring in some of these areas. Over that period of time, they'll devise an idea or a plan in terms of how best to approach that. They'll then start working with the congressman's Washington, D.C. office. And so about October of the fourth year of medical school, they'll start working to create possibly policy changes that can be affected to make a difference in terms of how that funding stream affects citizens in the region. They will actually go to Washington, D.C. for 2 months and actually work on the congressman's staff in the healthcare legislative end to understand policy and potentially look at drafting policy changes to better the citizens of this region.
That sounds extremely exciting.
Very exciting. Obviously, for us, we're excited about it. The students are ecstatic about that potential. And truly, this is something that we would continue to do year after year after year. So as students work, they can even hand off their projects to the next student. And we can create a database of all of the work that's being done and show positive outcomes. Again, this is about the patients. This is about the citizens of this region and bringing better health care to them through endeavors like this.
And I know that's something that you're excited about because of what NYIT has been doing here at Arkansas State to be able to help in that regard, ultimately to make lives better, to help improve patients' lives.
Absolutely. We said from day one that only one piece of our responsibility was to graduate quality, competitive, and excellent physicians. That was just a given. The other piece was to be good stewards of what we had here in terms of our knowledge base and be able to help K-12, the undergraduate level, and truly patients that are out there that are needing to be brought up, so to speak, in terms of their outcomes. We truly want to make a significant difference in this region of the nation for the better.
Yeah. And so going back to that, what you just said about how are you all working like with schools, a lot like elementary schools, and that to be able to kind of work with maybe getting younger people interested in, hey, one of these days I could be a doctor, I could train here and go out into the field. How are you all working with the local schools in that regard?
We have no shortage of eager students that are excited about getting into the elementary schools and even the junior highs and high schools to be able to share their experiences. Many of our students come from a lot of these areas. They come from a disadvantaged background. They had to struggle to get to where they are. For students in elementary school and even junior high and high school to look up and see this and be able to think, I could be that guy, I could be that girl, that's what we want to have happen. We want to be able to put more of our students out there so that they can see that. That was the other advantage to having our students taking or doing their rotations all throughout the state of Arkansas, putting them in these needed areas. We did that for several reasons. Number one, we know that students are more likely to go back and practice in those needed areas if they're exposed in their third and fourth year of medical school. The other piece is, while they're out there, we expect them to work with K-12 schools. We expect them to speak to the Lions Club, the Optimist Club, the Rotary Club, to be able to pass along good healthcare information that they learned here while they were at NYIT.
Fantastic. So a lot of exciting things are taking place. When you look at 2019, because I know it's right around the corner, how do you see things looking for NYIT as we go into the next year?
So what the big thing that's going to happen for 2019, and we're right in the middle now of bringing on that next class, we're interviewing now and starting to fill that class. So August of 2019 will be our fourth class. And what that means is we will be graduating our very first class in May of 2020. So at the end of that academic year, we will have graduated our first class, and truly, we will have started that hopefully never-ending cycle of producing quality physicians and good stewards and servant leaders for this region.
How are you going to feel when you get to that point, May of 2020?
I'll be honest, I don't know. Because it's, we've worked so hard and so long, and, yeah. And a lot of times it's just the fire in front of you each day. So I think it's going to feel really good. It's going to feel great for the students. It's going to feel great for the staff and the faculty that have worked so hard to get us to that point. I almost can't imagine it.
And that's Dr. Shane Spites. I'm Jonathan Reeves. You're listening to A-State Connections.